Hour 3, triple option with RBKD. It's going to be a speed option for about a week because Rod Babers is taking a week off. And understandably so. He's finally getting married. So he's got Brad Kellner. I'm Kevin Dunn. Get to hornfm.com. Get the Horn app. So if you are going to Rod's wedding, you can still listen to us. I'm sure Rod is doing that. But we got people listening all over the globe, and we really appreciate it. If you want to text us, we got the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. And we're about to get to some breaking news here. But BK, who is there any theme for music today, or are you just kind of rolling?
Motown-esque.
I know it's Motown-esque, but is there anything within that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Are you noticing something?
No, I'm not. I'm not noticing a pattern, but sometimes Rod and I won't notice a pattern, and there is one, and you spring it on us like at 6 o'clock and make us look dumber than we actually, or probably as dumb as we are.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I can't believe you guys didn't notice that for 3 hours.
You guys don't need me to make you look dumber.
No, I think we do a good enough job of that every day.
Mm-hmm. You do, but no.
Certainly me.
No real theme, just Motown-esque. Wednesday for
okay.
the people.
Yeah, and we've had some breaking news already. We are going to talk with Jared Sandler coming up here, in about 30 minutes. And look, we're getting really close to the trade deadline. Rangers end up signing Jack Leiter, so lots of stuff there. But we've got more breaking news, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Is it Mr. Thamel again? Boy, Pete's working today.
Pete Thamel is having himself a day.
He is.
He's a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. If you missed One and Done, KD was talking about Pete Thamel's story about Quinn Ewers and how the top-ranked quarterback in the country for the class of 2022 is considering skipping his senior year of high school football at South Lake Carroll to go straight to Columbus. I don't think he's expecting to play this year, but I think he wants to cash in on name, image, and likeness. You can't do that in high school. Obviously, we know now you can do that in college. So
yep.
Pete Thamel had that story an hour ago. Now, a few minutes ago, he tweeted out, quote, breaking. I don't know if he had the accompanying sounder on his tweet. The Big 12 has sent a cease and desist letter to ESPN. The letter demands ESPN end, quote, all actions that may harm the conference and its members, and that it not communicate with the Big 12 conference's existing members or any NCAA conference regarding the Big 12's conference members, possible conference realignment, or potential financial incentive or outcomes related to possible conference realignment, end quote.
Well, that's going to be tough when they're actually in a relationship with one of your Big 12 members that is leaving, and that would be Texas and the Longhorn Network.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised with this. I was waiting for the Big 12 at some point to say, hey, ESPN, we know you want this to happen, but stop it.
Can you figure this out? I'm like trying to dissect this tweet, and as I was reading it before we got on this segment, I was confused. And while I was reading it on this segment, I was also confused. We don't have an official story for Pete Thamel. He tweeted out that he's about to put something online with more details and clarification, but does this make sense? Is this basically just like stop? Like, don't do anything shady behind our back. Don't be working out deals with Texas and Oklahoma. Don't be talking about dissolving the Longhorn Network into the SEC network without telling us. Don't be making new deals with the SEC without telling us. Is that just what this is?
I'm sure we have some lawyers that are listening that could probably help us out with that. But Chuck Carlton also said, can confirm report by Pete Thamel regarding a letter sent to ESPN by the Big 12. And I am told this doesn't have anything to do with derailing Texas OU vote tomorrow by the SEC. Told it's about ESPN ceasing and desisting their actions regarding all Big 12 members. I don't know. It could just be setting it up for legally to try and get as much money when this thing or if this thing goes to court, right?
Smart by the Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean, they're falling apart. Feels like the writing's on the wall that this conference is going to disintegrate at some point in the not-too-distant future. So I'm sure there are legal steps that the Big 12 can take, especially if teams start to bolt the conference before 2025, right?
Yep.
And it appears, at least in Texas and Oklahoma's case, that's going to happen. We're talking 2022, maybe 2023 at the latest. That's most of what we're hearing behind the scenes. So, yeah, there's probably a way for the Big 12 to not get completely screwed financially out of this thing. Now, the conference might not exist, so they are getting screwed here. And, look, even if they do somehow stay alive and try to reformulate, they're losing far and away their two biggest brands, so it's not going to be the same. But yeah, I think you're right. I think your theory is dead on. They're just trying to make sure they can protect themselves as best they can because they've already been pretty unprotected here.
Yeah, they have. This is just crazy, though, man. I mean, you've got the Big 12 sending a cease and desist, cease and desist letter to ESPN.
I guess the Big 12 is dying, so yeah.
Actually, the mistake ended up working there. But that's their own broadcast partner.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
The Big 12 is sending out statements this week saying, like, they want to still exist, and they want to keep things at status quo for as long as they can, and now they're suing their TV partner?
Yeah.
That they have a deal with for another 4 years?
Unbelievable.
So, hey, if you thought we were going to have to wait until 2025 for this all to go down, there's more evidence that we're not waiting that long.
No.
Because the Big 12 wouldn't be doing something like this if they thought they had four more years, and they thought they could work out the remainder of their, or I should say play out the remainder of their current TV deal with ESPN.
So Carlton's tweet, though, did say that he's told this doesn't have anything to do with derailing the Texas OU vote. That, of course, is going to be tomorrow by the SEC, and it's expected that they're both going to be accepted. We talked about it earlier. I think it's going to be a 14-0 vote. I think A&M is going to save a little face there and do the right thing. So it has nothing to do with that. This has to do with legal ramifications down the road and probably money and lawsuits.
Look, the Big 12, I'm sure, would be willing to do whatever it could to stop this move from happening. I assume they're not trying to because they realize it's too far gone.
It's too late.
Like, it's too late for them to make anything happen. So if part of this were to try to do something in that regard, then yes, they would be doing it. And if they can screw Texas and Oklahoma on their way out, you know, despite how much Texas and Oklahoma have done for the Big 12 over the years, i.e. keeping it alive,
yeah,
making it a thing in the first place, I would still think the Big 12 is going to try to do whatever it can to give the Tom Herman double bird to both of those institutions on their way out.
I would think so. And maybe it's a last-ditch effort for them to try and keep this alive as a Mountain West, and maybe you're going to add a couple other teams. I would be surprised with that. I don't see Kansas. I don't see Oklahoma State. I don't see Texas Tech staying there. I think they can go somewhere, and I think they will.
Yeah, I think so, too. Has this ever happened before in your time covering or being a fan of college sports where a conference is suing a TV network?
Not that I can remember. I mean, BK, there's a lot of stuff that's happened the last week that most of us haven't seen.
Yeah, it's been 1 week.
I know. It's been a crazy week.
We need bare naked ladies in on this one.
Yes, we do.
Very average reference. But a quality song.
Yeah, very.
Quality song. So
that's one of Craig's favorite bands.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know any other songs besides that one.
Oh, they got a couple other. Right. We're about to get a tweet or a text here.
Yeah, Craig, be on vacation. Enjoy your vacation.
Hey, get the Horn app.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll be good to go.
We are trying to promote the Horn app.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. We appreciate you listening, Craig, if you are listening. You alluded to it a couple of minutes ago, KD. The big report from Chip Brown of Horns 24/7 said that SEC conference presidents are expected to admit Texas and Oklahoma as the 15th and 16th members into the conference tomorrow. We've known for a couple of days about a conference call that was scheduled for tomorrow with the SEC higher-ups. We weren't sure if the vote was going to take place tomorrow. And look, this is one report from Chip. I trust him. I trust his sources. So it sounds like this could all go down tomorrow. Then apparently Texas and OU have their own separate meetings with the Board of Regents on Friday morning to, I guess, finalize this deal. So, look, the writing's been on the wall that this thing is going to happen for a couple of days now. But,
yeah,
like, we might get the SEC approval tomorrow, and then, like, the final nail in the coffin could take place on Friday. And I think all that happens after that is trying to figure out when this goes down. 2022, 2023, I don't think there's any chance we're waiting four more years.
No, I think that is the only question right now. And I'm more 75-80%. This is happening, and this is going to be the last year of the Big 12 this year. This is happening in 2022. Because it's going to be awkward as hell. We've talked about that. It's just, it's probably not good for anyone involved. Certainly not for Texas and Oklahoma. But you also have a dying brand there anyway. So that's not going to be good. If Oklahoma State and Tech, if they're going to be accepted by the Pac-12 and they want to make that move, get that thing started for you too. It's not going to help them recruiting being in a dying conference, is it?
No, not at all. And I think another detail we have to figure out is this buyout, right? The $70 million exit fee that's been reported that Texas and Oklahoma would have to pay if they left the conference before 2025. Now, if other member institutions find homes, then I think that's all waived, right? Because if the Big 12 just naturally, organically disappears, then I don't know how they could charge somebody money. But how that would be paid, if it's the LHN thing that's been reported on, right? Does the LHN dissolve into the SEC network and all of the money that ESPN owes the Longhorns for the Longhorn network that goes to pay the buyouts for Texas and Oklahoma? Is it a booster who cuts a check and makes this happen? Like, that's, look, money's not an issue for Texas. We know that. Not an issue for Oklahoma. We know that. But how does that get paid? And are there any things that could slow that process down that makes this take a little bit longer than some people seem to expect?
So you bring up the ESPN thing, and we've talked about that, how ESPN wants this to happen. And I think this is part of what the Big 12 is doing today, sending that letter, that they know that, hey, ESPN is only making this easier because of the deal they have with Longhorn Network that and Texas, that they could end up swallowing some of that and saying, you know what, that's okay, because it's more beneficial for us to get the SEC, the contract we have, to be even more loaded and to have Texas and Oklahoma. The Big 12 sees that. The Big 12 is just in a spot where they can't do anything right now except legally send that.
Mm-hmm. And I want to know what's going to happen with the SEC television contract, too. I did a hit on ESPN Arkansas this morning, and they were asking me about TV contracts. And my thought was, dude, you can scrap these things. You could tear these up, especially if you're the SEC, right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to make more money off of this thing.
Yep.
And you tell ESPN, Fox, CBS, ABC, NBC, Versus, is that still a channel? You remember Versus for a couple of years?
Yeah, I think it still is.
MXC, wait, that was a show on Spike. Did you ever watch MXC?
No, I did not. Now, like, Versus had, they had some football, but then they also have just random games where you've got like a Nerf gun and you're hitting people in the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, like Mountain West football,
right.
NHL, hockey.
Obstacle course.
And then random ass stuff like that. That was Versus. I don't know if they're going to be in the running for the SEC football package.
I don't think so. I think we're going to see broadcasting in general completely change. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see it more with Amazon and these tech companies that are worth a zillion dollars that also understand the future and have been ahead of the game in terms of how people view stuff.
Yeah, I know you and Rod have brought that up a number of times regarding the potential changes to TV contracts. And look, we're already seeing Amazon and YouTube and Twitch get involved with live sports.
Yeah.
Now, that would scare me a little bit just because I don't know, it's different and it's relying on internet. Sometimes that can be a scary proposition, right?
Oh, Bob Dunn's going to lose it.
Yeah.
He's got to be able to record it. And I'm the same way. You know, I've got games from 4 years ago that are still recorded on my DVR.
I'm sure there's a way to record it, but it'll be different, and it won't be on your DVR, which might give you more space. You can keep
stuff. I don't want more space.
What do you mean you don't want more space?
I mean, I do, but I don't, because
yeah,
if I do, then
way.
I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah. The point I was making, though, on ESPN this morning, and I'll make it to you, too, and I want to get your thoughts. I just feel like all of those contracts can be shredded. And once again, like, if you're bringing in Texas and Oklahoma, the financial values go way, way up. And it's not, like, one-sided. It's not like, well, the SEC wants more money, but the networks aren't willing to pay that. No, the networks are, they're going to be willing to pay that.
Yeah.
They're going to be chomping at the bit to be a part of this first super conference in college sports.
So this would be a big issue. Look, there's too many common bedfellows here, right? And so if, let's say the Longhorn Network was done with Fox, whoa. I mean, you think Fox would give a penny? And you don't think they would hold them to, like, they wouldn't be cool with it, right? And I was expecting ESPN and Texas at some point to come to an agreement and buy it out. ESPN was going to have to buy them out, and that was backloaded. But just to say, hey, this thing hadn't worked. It was a good guinea pig for us with SEC Network and ACC Network. But the reality is, as big as Texas is, you can't do one school. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you've sucked for 10 years,
yeah,
which hasn't helped out. You did have an amazing talent there to start off, but outside of that, they would say that, of course.
No doubt about it.
So if it was Fox, it would be a completely different situation.
They'd be talking about who? Lowell, Galindo, let's see, who else was what? A day one LA
Why do I set you up with that?
That's Kaylee, like, Hartung day
no,
one.
Sam
Ponder.
Yeah, totally set you
worked
up.
Worked out for her. She's on to bigger and better
Greg
things.
Greg Swindell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing really well.
Keith Moreland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing, KD?
I'm talking to you.
Yeah,
what
sucks.
Am I doing?
That sucks. You got screwed here. It will be interesting to see how this plays out. And look, as average as Texas has been over the last decade, I think Stuart Mandel, who's been all over this like white on rice, he put out an article talking about TV viewership in the Big 12 over the last couple of years. Oklahoma's obviously been really good the last couple of years. They've been in the playoff both times. And Texas has had worse years than 2019 and 2020, but, you know, they're not competing for national championships, so they didn't play for a conference championship in either of those years. But 27 of the Big 12's 30 most watched regular season TV games over the last two seasons involved Texas and or Oklahoma. Most watched game was the Texas-LSU game in 2019, of course. The Red River Showdown was the second most watched game in 2019. So just kind of perspective on why TV money is going to be so high, and you're seeing ridiculous numbers thrown around regarding the SEC 16-team Super Conference with Texas OU involved. Texas and Oklahoma games averaged around 3.5 million viewers over the last 2 years. The 22 non-Texas/OU Big 12 games on ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2 over those same two seasons averaged 1.37 million viewers.
Wow.
Less than a half of the viewership on average for the other eight schools compared to Texas or Oklahoma. KD, how about this?
So that tells you why ESPN's got no problem saying, hey, whatever we got to do, let's get this done.
Exactly, and that's why it might be tough for some of the other Big 12 schools to find a home.
Yeah, you're right.
Like the AAC, the American Athletic Conference, their average viewership on the same networks was 1.01 million. So the other eight Big 12 schools are way closer to the AAC. Like they're barely ahead of the AAC in terms of TV viewership than they are as close to Texas and OU. So that's... that's why it might be one of the reasons why it's going to be a struggle for some of these other institutions in the Big 12, the irate eight, as we're calling them on this show. And that's why, the numbers you're seeing thrown around make a lot of sense because it's been Texas and OU carrying the weight for these TV partners.
If you're one of those 3.5 and you want to get watch this on TV, where should you go?
Nicely done there, sir. Audiovisual consultations. You got to call them. Whatever conference Texas is in this year, next year, 2023. You got to get your TV setup done and done the right way in the comfort of your own home by Audiovisual Consultations. They're the best in the business, plain and simple, and they've been in business here in Central Texas for more than three decades. You can get a bunch of screens on one wall like I have. You can get a home theater setup. You can get a big screen for your living room with surround sound, something for your patio area outside. AV Consultations has your back. No project too big, no project too small. Great people as well. Tom McKay and the crew at AV Consultations, they know what they're doing. They will take care of you from start to finish. All you have to do is give them a call. I promise it is a phone call you will not regret. KD can attest to it. Yeah. Bucky can attest to it. Trey, I mean, the list goes on and on of people here at the Horn who have been hooked up by AV Consultations. 512-255-8678. That's 255-8678, or check them out online. It's avconsultations.com.
You're not lying. They're fantastic people. They do great work. So you give those numbers, and those are staggering. And that's also why, look, I understand being pissed off if you're one of those irate eight, as we call them, that, look, it's over with, and where are we going to go? But it's also why I would be thankful that you even had the time you did.
Yeah.
And that you were sucking on the teat of Texas and Oklahoma. And it helped build your brand. It gave your school a lot of money when, frankly, you didn't deserve it.
You know what they say, KD? Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Bingo.
That'd be good advice.
I don't know who says that, but yeah, that's a good one.
I think that was Socrates who might have been the guy there.
Socrates.
I think that was
Socrates.
Yeah, good dude. Good dude. Underrated ping pong player.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we had a couple of games back when Charlie Strong was coaching Texas.
I didn't know they had ping pong.
Well, you know, Charlie Strong was around.
Oh, so that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I got you. It all comes full circle.
I got you.
No, it doesn't. That made no sense.
No, not at all.
What were you even talking about right there?
Just talking about how... you were kind of lucky to be in the situation.
Yeah, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Yeah, they were fortunate to be in the situation they were in. We have to do a segment tomorrow where we discuss some of the headlines and also just some of the stories that I've seen from either fan sites or just other media outlets from the other Big 12 institutions, the other eight schools. Dude, it's...
especially with the first 72 hours.
Yes. It's hilariously sad.
It is.
I mean, we're going to be a little pompous about it, I'm sure, being Texas fans. We're obviously in a very, very good spot here. But, oh my God, dude. It is laughably pathetic to see just how irate some of these other schools are. And it's not just it's fans, but it's also like people who are supposed to be professional.
Yes.
And like have non-biased, neutral takes and cover the sport.
Agreed.
Unbiased.
Fans on Twitter are going to be fans on Twitter.
Of course.
If you're writing an article, but that's what you do.
Yeah, we've got people like writing articles in newspapers and online that are just like bashing Texas and bashing Oklahoma. Way more bashing Texas, by the way.
Yeah.
Like Oklahoma's got to be thrilled with
this. They've got a free pass.
They've got a free pass. No one's talking any trash to them on this deal. But yeah, it's been pretty hilarious. So I might compile a list tomorrow just to give Texas fans a good laugh, because I've gotten a few over the last couple of days.
I have too, and as someone who's alive for a lot of the stuff they're talking about when the Southwest Conference went to the Big 12, or made, you know, in the inception of the Big 12 in 96, and then Nebraska leaving, there's been some revisionist history going on, man.
Oh yeah.
And I will rip on Texas. I will give, it's not like I'm going to look back and historically say that Texas was 100% right, because they weren't, but just some of the takes have been revisionist history. Mm. And a lot coming from the Big Red.
Nebraska?
Yeah.
They still have beef with Texas, don't they?
Yeah.
What are they still mad about?
Partial qualifiers and the fact that we didn't want the Big 12 to turn into a prison. And that's why Tom Osborne left. But we can get into that later on. But I haven't seen that in enough articles.
No, you probably won't see any of that. I'm just surprised they can formulate words, sentences, and paragraphs up there. I feel like that's a big step for them.
Dude, and their fans were the nicest fans. They really
were. Is that right?
Oh, they were incredible.
Until
went up there in 2002. And so Texas had still beaten them, but it hadn't gotten to the point where it did. Like, they just flipped. They are incredible fans when they're winning, and they're pretty pissed off right now.
Did it change when they started losing, or did it change when Texas left, or excuse me, when they left the Big 12?
No, it changed before then. Sometime around the mid-2000s, it changed.
Okay.
But even in 2002, went up there, and they were just really, really good fans and really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there's some updates regarding conference realignment. Once again, according to Chip Brown of Hornets 24/7, SEC presidents will meet and vote tomorrow, and the expectation is that they will admit Texas and Oklahoma into their conference. A couple of questions. Is it a 14-0 vote, or does A&M vote no? Do a couple of schools vote no? We'll find that out potentially tomorrow. And also, when does this go down? I assume tomorrow we'll hear 2025 again, right? Like, this will become effective in 2025,
because
that's the legal jargon right there. But then the next question becomes, well, do we actually have to wait that long? Feels like the answer to that is no. So we'll continue to update you with all things conference realignment.
And Texas and OU, with the SEC, let it play out a little bit, because obviously the easiest way to get out of this is if the whole conference disintegrates.
Yep.
And you got Kansas and Iowa State going to the Big Ten, and Tech and Oklahoma State, and maybe TCU, Baylor, who knows?
Going somewhere else, going to the Pac-12 maybe. Yeah, we'll see how it all unfolds. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. It's been a while since we've had a Rangers report with Jared Sandler, but the timing felt right. The trade deadline 3 days away, the Rangers very much involved in a number of discussions around Major League Baseball. So we'll get an update on that from Jared. Plus, the number 2 overall pick has officially signed. We'll discuss with Jared Sandler next.
Welcome back. Triple Option with RBKD. It's been a fun show. No Rod Babers. Going to be gone for a week. Independent Rod, couple days left, man. Just enjoy it. We say Independent Rod, but he's been in a relationship with her forever. They're a great couple. She's awesome. I mean, I've had some friends that have gotten married, and usually it's younger, and just thought, we're going to take bets on this at the wedding.
Mm.
Could this get annulled even?
Mm.
Not going to be the case here. This is going to last.
No chance. I've never known truly Independent Rod B.
Yeah.
I didn't meet him until he was in this relationship.
I knew Rod B a little in college, and that was a different Rod B.
Oh, man. I would have killed
him. You would have loved. I think you would have liked Rod and me a lot more when we were younger.
Well, the bar's pretty low. I will say that. Let's go now to the Vaquero's Cafe.
It's a good transition to this guy. Right?
To welcome one of our favorites. He always sets the bar extremely high. He is Jared Sandler of the Texas Rangers Radio Network. It's time for our Rangers Report, brought to you by Line X of Austin. Jared, what's going on, man? Thanks so much for the time. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm violating a rule of mine here. I feel like, you know, I'm the guy that's standing off away from a conversation, and I hear like a buzzword, and I'm going to butt in and be nosy and probably have no clue what actually is going on. But is Rod getting married? Is that what's happening?
He is getting married this weekend. So he and his fiance are are off. They're doing a destination wedding, so Rod's done for the rest of the week. And yeah, it's happening Saturday night.
Wow! And you guys, are you guys going?
We were invited, but with the show, you know, one, with the pandemic, they, and Rod was the first to admit it, is like, it was kind of weird setting it up, but with the show, we wanted to keep the show going, and they're going to have a huge ceremony and a party here in Austin for all the local people. So we got them a lot of gifts. We got them some good, what did we get them? Tequila?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're hitting the registry. We're doing everything we can. Rod was so cool about it, but yeah, we're going to hang out here.
That's awesome. Well, congrats to Rod. I'll have to congratulate him next time I'm on with you guys.
No doubt about it.
And
all right.
And then give some Ranger Houston hit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're going to need some of that. Jared, it's been an exciting couple of days.
Trash cans at the wedding.
Nice.
There it is. There it is. Well done there, sir. It's been an exciting couple of days for the Texas Rangers. It hasn't been a very exciting season, of course, on the field, but we've got the trade deadline coming up, lots of rumors and speculation about some of the best players on this ball club. But I want to start with what took place earlier in Arlington. Jack Leiter officially signed with the Texas Rangers. He had his introductory press conference earlier today up at Globe Life Field. You were there for that. You were covering that event. Just your thoughts on that, your thoughts on Jack Leiter, and what's the excitement level surrounding the Rangers' first-round pick?
Yeah, I think the excitement level is super high. And you know, you never know with any of these draft picks what actually is going to pan out. But I just think that there was a pretty strong feeling within the organization that he was their guy. You know, they had the number two pick, so they only had to worry about one team. I think he's their pick, whether they pick first or second. So, you know, to be able to get your guy is, you know, I think a very satisfying feeling. And I, you know, some people have talked about the concern of signability. I think once the Rangers made the pick, I don't think they make the pick unless they're confident they are going to sign him or they were going to sign him. And they obviously did. So I, you know, I think that probably was more of a I don't want to say a fabricated story than what was reality, but I think there was a little added drama than what was reality there. And so to have him, you know, join the organization officially, I think, you know, it's a great day for the organization. Obviously you don't want to pick second very often. And the Rangers would be very happy if they don't pick second for a very long time. Although, you know, this year, I think, you know, might yield another top five pick. But, you know, these are guys who are supposed to help carry you out of that range. And, you know, the reality is, guys, the Rangers have done a really good job here the last few years when it comes to pitching development. Now, it doesn't really mean a whole lot until those guys end up contributing at the big league level. But the Rangers are in a way better place when it comes to young pitching now than they've been maybe, 10 years, 15 years. You know, obviously DDD didn't pan out, but I think people felt pretty good about that trio. I think there's more depth now than there's been in a long time. And so I think the Rangers are super excited about the direction they're going from a pitching standpoint. And Jack Leiter obviously is at the very top of that list.
Jared, I think they nailed the pick. I've seen a lot of Leiter, and I was looking at a lot of mock drafts, and I don't know. It's always tough to get a consensus. You've got that many people in an organization. You've got scouts. You've got differing opinions. But I saw a lot of mock drafts with them taking one of those high school shortstops. Were they just throwing that out there? I mean, was it a consensus that, you know, we're taking Jack Leiter?
Yeah, I think – so my sense, guys, is that Marcelo Meyer was the high school shortstop out of the four that they liked the most. And I think that they would have been happy taking him, but – I think he was number two on their board behind Jack Leiter. I mean, obviously, you know, they had Jack Leiter ahead. And, you know, I don't know how much of it is one guy's a not only a college player, but an SEC pitcher. So you're not just pitching at, you know, some random Division I school. It's a school that has a pretty great track record of producing major league pitchers. But just generally speaking, they play in an incredibly competitive conference versus a high school kid who undoubtedly has a ton of talent, but, you know, is a little more of a risk. And I don't know, I can't say for sure if this played a role, guys, but the reality is the Rangers have not had a lot of success in the first round. And the last time they picked top five was back in 2015. They took Dylan Tate, and that did not work out. And I don't want to make it sound like this was the safe, high floor, low ceiling pick in Jack Leiter, because I think that, you know, there's hopes and thoughts that the ceiling for Jack Leiter is incredibly high. But this is undoubtedly a safer pick than Marcelo Meyer. And I think, you know, a part of the thought is, hey, we can't mess this up. Mm-hmm. And I would also tell you guys, you know, I think there is there's been a narrative that the Rangers can't develop pitching, and that is 100% appropriate and fair if this was 4, 5, 6 years ago. And it takes time for these narratives to turn. However, you know, as I was talking about earlier, I think the Rangers are in a really good place when it comes to that. I would say they are probably in a better place. They're a little bit ahead right now in their ability to develop pitchers versus position players. And, you know, I don't know if those things play a role as well, but I don't think the Marcelo Meyer and the high school shortstop stuff was smokescreen. You know, was a smokescreen at all. I think the Rangers would have been very pumped if today the press conference was for Marcelo Meyer, not Jack Leiter. But I do think they just simply valued Leiter a little bit more, and I think there are a lot of factors that played into it.
Jared Sandler of the Texas Rangers Radio Network joining the Triple Option with RBKD. Jared, I'm sure you've been asked about this guy a million times on postgame shows, also in your personal life as well, but we're a couple of days away from the trade deadline, and Joey Gallo is still a Texas Ranger. We've seen all sorts of differing reports, some extension talks perhaps happening between Joey and the Rangers. And we're starting to hear about the Padres maybe being in the mix, making a strong push to get Joey Gallo from Texas. Your thoughts, man? I mean, if you had to say right now, on Friday after 3 o'clock when the deadline passes, do you think Joey Gallo is still a Texas Ranger?
I would lean no. You know, I do think there is, you know, there have been reports of momentum, you know, involving a deal with the San Diego Padres. You know, I don't know. I can't speak to necessarily where that is. You know, is that on the 5-yard line, the 20-yard line, what have you? But, you know, I do think there are a lot of things that make sense there. Other teams have been linked to Joey, you know, including the Toronto Blue Jays. And, you know, some people have mentioned like the Braves and the Yankees. I don't feel like they are nearly as strong as suitors. But I think there are a lot of reasons why San Diego would be a really good trading partner. For one, you know, it's got to make sense both sides, right? You know, a lot of times people like to concoct trades, but, you know, it really only makes sense for their team. But, you know, for San Diego, they get a guy who doesn't have to be your A number one alpha dog in the lineup. And I think that's very fitting for Joey and where he is. You got defensive flexibility, and San Diego really values guys with a high strike zone discipline. They have the lowest chase rate in the league or second lowest, you know, it kind of goes back and forth here recently, but, you know, he fits that profile. And, you know, he's got familiarity there with Jace Tingler and AJ Preller, which always helps. And, you know, I think the Rangers would perhaps take back in that deal Eric Hosmer's contract or a chunk of that and have Eric Hosmer for the next 4 years. But the real get would be a prospect, and the prospect who keeps coming up is a guy named Robert Hassel III, who was drafted last year, a 19-year-old kid who was the best hitter for Team USA prior to the draft, and a lot of people believed was the best pure hitter in last year's draft class, who's, you know, a pretty exciting prospect to get. He's you know, one of these top 50 prospect types. So, you know, that's the deal that's been tossed around there. Do these things get done, or will this thing get done? There are a lot of hoops to jump through. You know, it's not just fantasy baseball where you go, you check three boxes and check the two for the guys you want and, you know, accept trade. And I text BK, hey, I sent you the trade. Will you accept it? And then he clicks accept, right? You know, especially with the financial elements here, you know, there are a lot of logistics, a lot of administrative things. And, you know, there are a lot of minefields here that you got to avoid that could blow up the deal, you know, when it gets in the red zone. So I do think that, it's still, I would lean yes, he's probably not here. The sense I get is if that's the case, then perhaps the extension talks didn't gain enough momentum to make the Rangers confident that something would work out. And, you know, my thought on that is, again, just a hunch, that it's less about the money and more about the years. You know, my guess is that perhaps the biggest gap is, you know, the amount of years Joey would want as opposed to Joey wanting a higher AAV. You know, I think the Rangers would probably be more inclined to do something, you know, along the lines of 4 years, where my guess is Joey would want something like 6 to 7 years.
Interesting. We've talked about Kyle Gibson with you. Gibson had a great first half. He's really struggled since the All-Star break. He has an 8.18 ERA in 3 starts. I'm curious how that has affected suitors coming after him. Do you think Kyle Gibson gets traded?
That's a good question. I'd lean yes, 51-49 on that. You know, I think just like with Joey, because both guys have another year on their deal, there are reasons why, you know, it would make sense to trade and not to trade. I think the reasons why you wouldn't trade Joey are different than the reasons why you wouldn't trade Kyle Gibson. I do think the value's been impacted, but I'd also say, you know, it's fascinating. With all the numbers and stuff, you know, there's a lot of data that suggests that Kyle Gibson was going to regress to the mean. And, yeah, you know, there are various things like, you know, Kyle Gibson the rest of the way will have a 4 ERA and this and that. And, you know, teams know that. If it's out there for me and you to see, these teams have that stuff and stuff that's even deeper than that. I don't think that even when Kyle Gibson led the American League in ERA, I don't think teams looked at him as a 1 or a 2. I think that they looked at him as a guy who would be, you know, a nice 3 or 4th option in the postseason, and probably not even someone who you would have on like a full leash. Like we've seen recently, there's starters who you use in the postseason and they're out after 3 innings at the first sign of trouble. Whereas a guy like Clayton Kershaw, you might, you know, give a little more rope to. I think Kyle Gibson's in that first category, not that second category. And with that said, I don't think that the value you would be willing to part for a guy like Kyle Gibson is going to be like incredibly sexy. That doesn't mean it's not worth the deal, but you know, if fans think the Rangers are going to get the type of return that you'd get for you know, a top 2 pitcher in a rotation with a year and a half left, that's not at all what's going to be on the table. So now the Rangers have to assess, is the return worth the leadership that he provides and the stability that he'll provide to what is going to largely be not just a young rotation, but a young pitching staff this year and next year. And, you know, I think those are some of the things that they're going to have to weigh. And the other thing is Kyle Gibson is one of these culture guys. You know, he's a guy who, you know, he helps reshape a culture because he is going to carry the baton. They love this guy here. But I think ultimately, I think something gets pushed over the line. And I think, you know, Tampa Bay is a team that gets mentioned a lot.
Yeah.
Or there seems to be a lot of momentum with Kyle Gibson to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Great stuff, yeah, as always, Jared. Really appreciate the time, my friend. And I'll be sure to send you Rod B's address. You can send him one of those inflatable trash cans as a wedding gift.
Please do that.
Please do. I would love to do that. That's a great idea.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
and we'll talk soon.
Take care, guys.
All right, there he goes. The great Jared Sandler.
Really sharp.
The Texas Rangers Radio Network. Good dude, knows his stuff, and interesting insight and perspective regarding the upcoming trade deadline.
Yeah, and just really objective. I mean, he's exactly everything you said about Kyle Gibson is exactly right. I mentioned the 8.18 ERA in the 3 starts since the second half, but they could have traded him when he had a 2.29 ERA, which is where it was at the break. Teams understand. He doesn't have overpowering stuff.
Yeah.
He's 33. This seems like an anomaly,
yes,
a little bit.
It is.
And so he's exactly right. Even if you would have gotten him when he was statistically one of the best pitchers in baseball in the first half, teams know what they're getting.
You're not getting a Yu Darvish type return.
You ain't getting that back. Gallo, though, if they get Hassel, that could be huge.
That would be huge. No doubt about that. By the way, the Rangers report is brought to you by Line X of Austin and the Texas Truck and Trailer. Check them out online at LineXATX.com. When we return, the NBA draft is tomorrow night, and we might hear 3 Longhorns names called tomorrow. And we've got an interesting updated mock draft from ESPN that has a bit of a surprise regarding the 3 Texas players who are draft eligible. We'll give that to you next.
Man, you've been killing it today, dude.
Thanks.
You've been killing it. It is a Motown-esque Wednesday. No Rob B. I know Rob B. loves the Motown, but He's enjoying getting away right now and is going to be getting married on Saturday. So big shout out to him and his fiance, who's been calling a wife for a couple years now. So this won't be hard for him. It'd be funny if he starts calling her his fiance now.
Yeah.
And just reverses it.
Starts calling her his girlfriend again.
Yeah.
Or his woman.
I do respect it, though. And I've seen this more with women. So sorry, but it seems like women are guilty of this more.
What if women were human?
No, that was a rough day, and it was spliced. Not really.
Kevin Dunn.
Yeah,
that was you, dude.
I know.
The voice guy just said.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it wasn't what I meant, and I corrected it very quickly. You never put that in there.
I don't remember that part.
It was you don't remember. It was a larger point.
The tape didn't get that.
But have you heard people, and like I said, specifically it is women, guys do enough stupid stuff, so don't worry, that they'll say they like to get in fiance as much as possible because they know they're hoping it's a limited time, right? Mm-hmm. So he's only meeting my fiance for 8 months, and you just hear it a lot. Oh, my fiance? Hey, could you get my fiance? You mean Rick? I've known Rick for 15 years. Just call him Rick.
Yeah.
Or just say him. We were just talking about him.
It's not my fiance. Don't call him that. Don't make me call him
my
that,
fiance,
please.
Fiance. And I think it's just the way the word rolls off the tongue. Fiance. It sounds very stuffy. Fiance? My fiance?
It feels forced to me.
It does.
A lot of syllables. You've got accents and tildes and all sorts of crap going on there.
Tildes. I don't think there's any tildes.
Well, there is now, apparently. Let's go to VAR for a review.
Oh, God.
No, you're right. No tildes.
No, there aren't any.
The call does not stand.
We've had a good show. I mean, it's been such a busy week. There's a lot of stuff. Usually in the summer, we would have been talking about the NBA draft, especially with three possible Longhorns involved. And with all the excitement of Chris Beard in this program right now, we haven't hit it at all. So let's hit it.
Yeah, it's coming up tomorrow night. The 2-round NBA draft will take place on ESPN, I think right after we get off the air tomorrow. And three Longhorns, I think you can expect to hear their names. That's not grammatically correct at all. Three Longhorns should hear their names called tomorrow night.
Definitely two.
This is interesting. So ESPN released an updated mock draft this morning. No surprise, they've got Kai Jones as the first Longhorn off the board. They have him going 21st overall to the New York Knicks. That's actually lower than most of the mocks I've looked at.
Me too.
I'm seeing late lottery / late teens for Kai Jones. You don't see too many mocks out there where he's falling into the 20s. The good news, I guess, if you fall that far in the draft, you get selected by a better team. Now, we're talking about the Knicks here, which they were good last year. They made it to the playoffs, but we're still talking about the Knicks here, so who knows how long they'll be kind of decent in this league. But that's where Kai Jones is going. No shock there, first Longhorn off the board. I'd be stunned if that doesn't happen tomorrow night.
How high can he go? Because I actually feel like both he and Greg Brown have kind of fallen in the mocks that I've looked at over the last couple months. I mean, I saw Kai Jones a couple months ago go as high as 10.
Yeah, that's a Texas thing, isn't it? Not just with basketball. We saw that with football as well, right? With Joseph Osai and Sam Cosmi seemingly falling in mock drafts leading up to the actual draft. Man, Kai Jones had a workout with the Spurs. The Spurs picked 12th. So I guess we couldn't be too shocked if that happened. I don't think Kai Jones is going in the top 10, but maybe San Antonio at 12. You get the natural fit. You know, local kid staying relatively close to, I know he's not from here, but staying relatively close to where he went to college. Maybe that makes sense. But I would say 12 is probably the highest where Kai Jones could go. I think it's going to be somewhere from 15 to 20.
So the Rockets have the number 2 pick. I see Jalen Green going there a lot. They also have the 24th pick, and I'm looking at CBS Sports right now in a mock, and that's from Milwaukee. And they have, at 24, the Rockets taking Kai Jones.
There you go. Yeah, that's part of the P.J. Tucker trade, how Houston got that pick. The Rockets have 3 first-round picks, and we'll see what they do. Obviously, they're picking number 2 overall, and it feels like the consensus is that they will take Jalen Green, who played in the G League last year. One of the top recruits from the class of 2020 played in the G League and did very, very well out there. The potential for him is very high.
Does someone late in the first round take the potential on Greg Brown? Because I'm seeing him go 42. I'm seeing him go in the second round a lot more than I was, once again, a couple months ago.
So here's the big shocker from this ESPN mock draft that I saw earlier today. They actually have Jericho Sims going ahead of Greg Brown.
Wow.
Which I have not seen that anywhere else. Jericho Sims was awesome at the Combine. Greg Brown was awful at the Combine.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm being kind of nice by only using the word awful.
Mm.
He cost himself some money there. Meanwhile, Jericho Sims, I mean, he went viral on social media for some of the the jumps that he had. I think he hit his head on the rim during a scrimmage. Like, that dude, we knew he was an athletic freak, but he really had that on full display. He was one of the best athletes there at the Combine a couple of weeks back. So he seems to be, I don't want to say skyrocketing up draft boards, but he went from a guy that was maybe more likely to go undrafted to a guy that seems like he's going to hear his name called in the second round. He's not going to be a first-round pick, but because of the potential, because of the defensive ability that we saw, and he just progressively got better on the offensive end, too, during his Texas career, I think he's going to hear his name called. It's stunning, though, that Greg Brown has fallen to the point where he might go behind Jericho Sims. And this mock draft has Greg Brown going 51 overall. There's only 60 picks.
Yeah.
So if you're in that range, then that means you might not hear your name called at all. I don't think Greg Brown's going to go undrafted tomorrow. I think someone's going to fall for the potential and take a chance on him. And I think you should in the second round, especially if you're a team with multiple picks and you, or maybe a good team that like doesn't need it to pan out that much. But, yeah, he has precipitously fallen down draft boards.
I'm rooting for all of them, obviously, but I'm more invested with Jericho Sims because he just was with the family longer.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. And I also feel for him the most because he got three shots, and he made all three in his final game.
Yeah.
He just was underused and poorly used. And I think he's with the pick-and-roll game defensively, I saw that enough, especially in the playoffs. I just remember thinking, someone needs a Jericho Sims.
That's big.
He's a rim running big.
Yeah, the fact that he can
defend the pick and roll
well enough 1 through 5,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you don't want him matched up on point guards, but if he does get switched onto a smaller player, his feet are quick enough to where he can hold his own from time to time. That kills in today's NBA, no doubt about that. So the NBA draft tomorrow, we might preview it a little bit more on tomorrow's program, but there's kind of an update on where things stand for the 3 Longhorn draft hopefuls. Of course, we'll see what happens to Matt Coleman, too, where he ends up when this thing is all said and done. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, we'll get into some Olympic talk. We've got to discuss the Simone Biles story from Tokyo, the biggest story surrounding the Olympics right now, but also more damning news surrounding the Big 12. They are firing at ESPN. We've got an update on what could potentially be a messy legal situation with conference realignment. Next.